If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, Double G here for the Thompson to Clark podcast. Brad and I recorded a video show earlier today for Bleacher Report, and they allow us to actually grab the audio and the video. So if you missed it on the Bleacher Report stream, you can always go and check it out on their Giants page on the app. But we also have it for our YouTube page, as well as here for you, the audio of it. It was based on early overreactions to the first 7 games of the season. Brad and I had a positive and a negative each for our overreactions. And it's a shorter show, but there is one problem in that. For whatever reason, my microphone didn't pick up on the show. So you know, the audio on my end is actually kind of poor. I apologize for that. I need to figure this out because that's 2 weeks in a row or 2 shows in a row with Bleacher Report where we've had to figure out audio stuff that I normally don't have to figure out here because my setup is perfect and I just plug and play. So anyways, hopefully you enjoy this and this sort of takes over for the show that we missed out on doing on Monday because Brad is on vacation. So we have that. We have that here for you. Overreaction to the first 7 games of the Giants season. Enjoy.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
Hey, it's Garrett and Brad from Thompson to Clark. We are here to discuss some early season baseball, Brad. We've had 7 games of baseball, and we are ready to overreact to everything that we've seen so far.
Why not, right? I mean, it's the time of the season to kind of take a look at your team and say, this needs to be fixed, or if we stay this particular way, we're going to break some records.
Yeah.
Let's get into this, man. Let's go crazy.
Now, I think if this was, you know, if the Giants were 5-2 instead of 2-5, maybe some of the tone will be a little different for what we're going to talk about. But at the same time, we are going to have some positive ones. This is not just going to be a negative overreaction. And I brought this for you. This is not for you. This is mostly for Giants fans, maybe on Twitter. It is my coffee mug that I'm drinking from today. And it's backwards, but it says relax. Everybody just needs to relax.
That's right, man.
You know, one of the things that we kind of talked about it a little bit, the Giants had a lot of moving pieces this year, and some of them late. Matt Chapman comes in late. We haven't even seen Blake Snell, who they carried on the opening day roster, assuming that he was going to pitch probably in the Dodgers series, and he didn't. And he's still not going to pitch in this next series. I think they're saving him for the following. And so, you know, lots of moving pieces, new manager, new players, the guy that you paid the most money for, the biggest contract, comes over from Korea. So there was going to be some adjustments. And I will say losing three games to the Dodgers is kind of the worst thing that can happen in a baseball season, and we'll get to that in a bit. But overall, before we get to the overreactions piece, like, you saw seven games, but how do you feel at least this early on with the team?
Yeah. It's hard because I thought we'd be closer to 500 instead of 2-5 at this point. I knew going into San Diego, we had a really good chance to possibly. And the Giants did put themselves in position to do that. Going into the final game on Easter Sunday, they had a 2-1 record. And then that one was just a complete debacle with Dalton Jeffries on the mound and defense kind of falling apart behind him. So, you know, that was a winnable game for the most part. And then going into LA, I thought, you know, hey, we need to make a statement and win the last game of the series, which was last night. They didn't pull it off. And so it's frustrating to be 2-5 at this point, but it's also understandable because of the teams that they played. And this team is still kind of gelling, and they're trying to find themselves and find out who they are. I mean, this is a completely different team than it was last year. When you look at the roster up and down, there are so many new faces in the clubhouse, and so many that came on late as well, late in the offseason to sign with the Giants. So it's going to take some time to gel. So 2-5 is not the end of the world. It's a little frustrating to be four games back of the Dodgers already, but you kind of knew, everybody knew going into the season, the Dodgers are probably going to win the National League West. Not probably. I mean, there's like a 99% chance they're going to win the National League West. But to be four games back already and having been swept by the Dodgers is frustrating. But again, lots of bright spots to look at, and going forward, going home to play San Diego starting tomorrow for the home opener is a pretty awesome feeling. Put this new team out in front of the crowd, and things can start to kind of happen and turn around a little bit.
So we're going to start positive with our overreactions here.
Yep.
And we're going to start with you. Give me your first overreaction to the first seven games of this season.
All right. My first overreaction is that, and we, you know, this has been talked about, I don't know how many times, we have not had a 30 home run guy since Barry Bonds. So it's been, you know, 20 plus years. My overreaction is that Conforto and Jorge Soler are going to combine for 70 to 75 home runs. Conforto is on pace. I love the on pace. Remember when we were kids and used to do the on pace?
Yeah.
Somebody would hit, you know, five home runs in the first two games of the season. You go, oh, he's on pace to hit, you know, whatever, 400 home runs.
Yeah.
Conforto's on pace to hit 69 home runs.
Jorge Soler
is on pace to hit 46 homers. So is Matt Chapman, of course. But yeah. We're not talking about Matt Chapman right now, because Matt Chapman's more of a like 20-25 home run guy.
Mm-hmm.
But those guys are on pace right now to combine for 115 home runs. I think they both could easily be, and I don't know if this part's an overreaction, but I think they could both easily be the next 30 home run guy.
In the same season.
Who's going to get their, in the same season, who's going to get there first? We don't know. Probably Soler. I mean, if he gets a pitch like he got last night, if he gets more of those and can, you know, pop at 455, especially at Oracle Park, he's going to need to. So my overreaction is that those guys can combine for 70 to 75 home runs on the season.
All right. So just to take that into context of what that means for numbers. So that's like maybe if Conforto gets to 30, then that means you have Soler penciled in maybe even at 40.
Yeah. Yeah, very well could be. I mean, we could be looking at Soler 40, 45 and Conforto 30, 35. I mean, it could be, you know, these guys, if they can continue to mash the ball, Conforto's healthy. I mean, we've seen it. He's healthy. He's going to be playing left field. I know everybody's, screaming for Luis Matos, but Matos has 3 home runs in 2 games for Sacramento, but all 3 of them, and I can attest to this, were in the thin air, 4,500 feet up in Reno, where I live. I mean, so 4,500 feet, you're hitting bombs in that ballpark. Yeah, I get it. I want to see a little bit more action down in Sacramento, especially when the weather starts to heat up and everything. And we had a lot of wind yesterday, too, in Reno. So, wind-aided home runs happen in Reno at 4,500 feet.
You know, I keep saying this every year, but if Matos and Luciano are in Sacramento, by the time I can actually get out there, I'm going to go. You don't have the opportunity to see those guys together. Unless it's on the big club, but I want later in this show, I do have an idea, not an idea, but I kind of have a feeling that the Giants are going to be a little bit big game hunting in the trade market. And I kind of really wonder if Luciano's going to be on this club, but okay, we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
All right. So I like it. You know, Conforto, the thing about Conforto and maybe even a reason to believe he can be a much better player this year is he doesn't have that cushion that he had last year, right? Like his right. fallback plan was, if I play great, then I opt out and I go chase a long-term deal. And if I don't, I have this backdrop, I have this fly net to catch me, and I just re-up my deal and I'm back another year. He doesn't have that. So that is one reason to believe that, maybe – he's going to have a better year just because he doesn't have that fallback plan. So I like that. Yeah. I mean, it's been awesome to see him so far. Last year we're watching this guy and we're just like, well, we're stuck. And that was the thought, right? It's like we're happy to have him back. It was like, oh, we're stuck with this guy. And now when you watch him, it's like, oh, I think, this may work out for us. Farhan's deals with these opt-outs, they're just there to screw us. But in this case, it may actually work for this season if he continues to have the type of, he's not going to be on pace to hit, 70 bombs or whatever it is. But if he hits 30, then your overreaction may not be entirely, outside of the realm of possibility. That's an interesting one. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going negative to start.
All right. Bring us down.
Yeah. This one is hard. This one hurts my soul to even suggest.
Oh, no.
And let me preface by saying the Dodgers are the team to beat, not only in the National League West, not only in the National League, I think in the entire game. They have the best player. And now he's not pitching. He won't be pitching this season. I think he's going to probably... I don't know how they protect him from himself, but he'll be pitching next year. But they have Shohei. Even if Yamamoto is not worth the $300 million or he has to adjust or it's going to take time for him or whatever, just the mere fact that you put Shohei on the team of bashers that they already had, so much so that I was calling last year's Dodgers lineup like the best lineup I'd ever seen in my life. And then they added Shohei. And it's just like, what an embarrassment.
The buzzsaw at the top
of riches. And I was thinking about this yesterday because you went through it in the late 90s with the Rammies. Like the Rams were just head and shoulders above all of these other teams, especially, on the offensive side of the football. I was a Niner fan. So in the late 90s, the Niners aren't great. And I'm just dreading when we have to play the Rams, because I'm just going to see the back of everybody's jersey running to the end zone. And I had it as a Warriors fan where, you know, from 2016 to 2019, everybody sort of circled them as the NBA champions before the season even started. And if they weren't the NBA champions, you were sort of surprised. And that is the kind of pressure that the Dodgers have this year, because I look at that team and I go, how can they lose? And some of the naysayers would say, well, they've mishandled their pitching for, you know, for the last several years. They get to the playoffs and they don't have any arms, and, you know, Kershaw's arms hanging off of his shoulder by the end of the season. And this is what, you know, wash, rinse, repeat. This is what the Dodger fans are saying. But at the same time, at some point, the talent is just going to pay off. And my fear and my overreaction is that no matter how well the Giants play, it's not even really going to matter, because it's really the Dodgers' season to lose. So much so that after last night, this was a real thought in my head, and I said, I have to make this my overreaction. I don't know if the Giants can beat the Dodgers in the regular season this year.
Like, they had 10 games left, and look,
if there was still 20 some odd games between the two teams like there had been in the past, then I wouldn't, this wouldn't really be my, but I looked at the schedule like, wait, we only play these guys 13 times. They already took three. Like, there's only 10 games left. I don't think they play the Dodgers after July either. So it's like,
well, and that's after the trade deadline.
Right.
Oh, no. So yeah, that's ugly.
Yeah. So we have them from now until July, all 13 games. So this is an overreaction. I'm going to admit it. It is kind of outlandish. It is me.
But it's scary.
Me being a hater of them just losing three games in a row and being super frustrated and being like, oh, we spent all this money for nothing just to lose to the Dodgers three times in a row. That is my overreaction. They're not going to beat the Dodgers one time this year. And that is scary to think about. Now, you know, I think they played the year that they won 107 games, they played the Dodgers really well that season. So it suggests that if you think the Giants are going to be good, they're going to compete. But I just think this Dodgers team is way better than even that 2021 team.
I want to dispel that in one way, because I think the Giants can get one win. I think if Snell is on the mound against the Dodgers, he has pitched well against them. So it's a matter of, can he get six innings in that start? Can he shut them down? You know, a lefty going against that lineup. You got, you know, Freddie Freeman and Nohei Ohtani, as we call them. You got those two lefties. So if he can isolate on those guys and shut them down for five or six innings, then I think that's a Giants one win right there. But I see where you're coming from, because those games, the last three games, just after the first inning, that, you know, Dodgers score a run and you think, all right, we held them. I mean, they gave up a run and all of a sudden you're losing 1-0 after the first inning. And Jung-Hoo Lee, who was off to a hot start, had a hard time at the top of the lineup getting on this series. He's still hitting exit velo 100 miles an hour off of everything that he's hitting. But still, you know, him not getting on base in the first inning kind of hurts a little bit. But I don't know, man. That's not an overreaction to the point where I think it could happen.
I was watching the game, the end of the game last night. So a little bit of inside podcasting here. I record another show called The Death Lineup about the Warriors, and my son does it with me. And we were recording, and I had the TV to my right, and I think people could tell if they're watching the live audio, like my it would light up my screen at certain moments. And so it was like really a weird thing. But so I'm watching it and I'm going like, oh, like the Soler home run. But at the same time, I was like, I'm not quite sure that this is even going to matter, because it seems like we're always an inning too late.
Yeah.
When we play the Dodgers, like, we're, you know, had that home run tied the game, then maybe I have a little bit more faith that they can buckle down. But I was like, oh wow, you know, if Shohei doesn't hit the home run right before, then we could have tied the game. But of course he hit the home run right before. Like, it's just that's just how my relationship is with the Dodgers right now. They're just going to owe you one run ahead of us.
Okay. And that was the absolute frustrating part of all of that, this whole series. You know, the first game was kind of that one was kind of a blowout, but the second two games, losing 5-4, you're thinking, oh, if this would have happened or if that would have happened. And that's kind of how it was in the series against them in 2021 in the playoffs, the three out of five. So yeah, a little bit of the same.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
All right, now you have a negative one here.
I do, and it's one that, it, again, total overreaction, but my overreaction is that this bullpen, if it stays the same, if this bullpen with the same, you know, players that we have in the bullpen, same relief pitchers we have in the bullpen, if it remains the same, it's going to keep us out of the playoff hunt. And again, a total overreaction, because when you look at it, let's look at the first seven games. Giants are 2-5. Only one of those losses was hung on the relievers. So the relievers are 0-1, while the starters are 2-4. Mm-hmm. Relief ERA is 7.33, which is extremely rough. Starting pitching ERA is 5.79, which is not that much better. Mm-mm. So you look at the relief corps, 7.33 ERA, FIP of 6.01, and a left on base percentage of only 62.5%. The leaders in major leagues are, you know, bullpens are up in the 80s for left on base percentage. You look at the starting pitcher left on base percentage, and it's only 61%. So almost half the time that a runner gets on, Giants pitchers are pretty much letting a run score, not keeping them on the bases. Look at home runs. That's kind of the culprit right now for the relief corps. They are at 1.93 home runs per nine. Last year, the Giants relievers were fourth best in the majors with a 0.96 home runs per nine on the entire season. So those things are going to correct themselves. And then you look at that, just throw in the starting pitching real quick too. 38.8% ground ball percentage, which is very low for a San Francisco Giants lately, a San Francisco Giants pitching staff. That's the starters only, 38.8% ground ball percentage. Last year, they led the majors in 50.8% in ground ball percentage. So if the starters can actually do a little bit better of a job as well, keeping the ball on the ground and the relievers keeping the ball in the ballpark, then we pretty much dispel that overreaction. But right now, my overreaction is definitely that the relief corps continue to pitch the way they are. They are going to absolutely keep this team out of a playoff hunt. Come July, things are going to, you know, moves are going to have to happen. Things are going to have to start to kind of swap around. We're going to have to get some of the guys like Mason Black up maybe as a bullpen piece. We're going to see Keaton Wynn as a bullpen piece too pretty soon, because when Cobb and Snell come back, then all of a sudden your starting pitching starts to look rock solid. And then you have a little bit of help in the bullpen. But, yeah, it's not looking pretty right now anytime a reliever comes in.
We thought that this was going to probably happen, that the bullpen was going to be taxed early on.
Yeah.
The Giants threw out Webb, Harrison, Hicks, and then it was like, okay, who's after these guys? Like, that was the thought process, right? And then when – Wynn was out there. Who was the other person who threw, or did they only throw four-man rotation to start the season?
No, just four-man rotation.
Yeah, okay.
To start so far.
Yeah. And, you know, Wynn got through that the first game. With, you know, he gave up some runs. But it was my theory in this entire thing is that the offense really needs to save the pitching early on, because – the pitching, at least we believe the starting pitching, when all of those guys come in, and then you get the luxury of possibly having a Robbie Ray in this back half of the season, it is my hypothesis that the starting pitching will actually be the part of the team that kind of gets this team through the doldrums of the summer. I just think it's going to be, of course, without injuries, I think it's going to be the strongest part of the team. But right now, when you see that there is a weakness in the starting pitching, you only have faith in three guys, and you're kind of waiting for Snell to get there. Then you have four guys, and you're waiting for Cobb to get there. And you're like, okay, now we have our five, and we can put Keaton Wynn as maybe the long man, maybe the Junis of the bullpen. And that's
And don't forget Jordan Hicks too. There's a possibility that they're going to have a solid enough starting rotation where Hicks, who signed as a starter, ends up in the bullpen as well. So you could have a guy in the back end of the bullpen throwing 102, 103 miles an hour.
I don't know. He looked great in his first start.
No, that's the problem. What do you do? I mean, what do you do when you've got, I mean, does Kyle Harrison, he's strong.
Okay. That's my second question. My question to your comment. Who do you have more faith in right now? Hicks or Harrison?
Honestly, due to spring training and his first start, I think I have more faith in Jordan Hicks at the moment.
I would agree with you. Again, complete overreaction on our part, because who knows? There's no data to prove us wrong.
The sample size is smaller than our offense was in the early 2010s. So there you go.
But that was kind of my thought process behind the beginning of the season, was the offense is going to need to kind of keep the pitching afloat and keep the team afloat.
Right.
And they did it somewhat in the San Diego series, and in the Dodgers series, they just did not do enough of that. One thing I like about your prediction, though, is the Giants have sunk a good deal of money into the Rogers brothers. Now, you know, bullpen guys aren't making, you know, no one's making Josh Hader money at this point.
Right.
But you've established that these are your guys. You've established that Duvall is your closer. And that first Duvall appearance was rough, man. That dude was violating pitch clocks. Like it was like going out of style. He's like, nope. We haven't seen too many of these this year. I got to get some in. And like, well, Melvin was pissed. Like,
Yeah, it was like his first outing in New York against the Yankees last year when he came in with the pitch clock was a brand new. And it was like nobody had told him about the pitch clock. And all of a sudden, he's like, you know, 2-0. And then next batter, he's, you know, 1-1 and then gives up another pitch clock violation. I mean, to his credit, he did have Tom Murphy back there. And Tom Murphy hadn't worked a whole lot with Camilo Doval.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of that, too. Doval didn't pitch a ton in spring training, so... But still, it was that was a little bit frightening and frustrating to watch.
Yeah. So my counter to your overreaction is that, and I've said this before, I think we're going to see a Farhan who might be a little bit more loose with the trade chips if the Giants have a chance. Sure. Again, it's because... He's tied to this franchise in a way that I think the fan base, like he may be the most villainous person for whatever reason from the Giants fan base, right? It's like, you know, somewhat he and Kapler were a little bit of a team in that way, but he's not really tied to Bob Melvin in the same way. And I think Bob Melvin comes to this fan base as like a giant baby face. Like he's a former player for the organization. He's coached and he's managed in the division. So we've seen him a lot. We know what he's about. He's bringing back a little bit of that hum baby style, which I think the fans and us included, we kind of had to pretend we didn't like that baseball style anymore because of the way that the game changed. Right. We were like, well, maybe Kapler and Zaidi are right. Maybe you are supposed to keep running and bunt when you're up seven runs in the eighth inning or whatever, right? Maybe it's on the other team. And so baseball to us has always been a little bit more romantic than that in just the style and such. And now we have a guy who's back to the hum baby stuff. I don't know if I'm fully in agreement with Bob Melvin and Matt Williams that, you know, you need to mad dog people who maybe make mistakes on the field. But
exactly.
At the same time, because Bob Melvin is here and he is the one that the fans truly believe in, I feel like even more pressure on Farhan to put the players that they need. So if the bullpen, and I agree with you, that was a strength last year, and it does not look like the same strength when you have Landon Roop coming in and he's like your best guy out of the bullpen. And he's barely pitched above single A ball, but he's got like one tremendous pitch that carries him throughout. That's going to be good for now, but you know, then teams are going to see him a second time and go, okay, like let's just lay off of the curveball and see what he can do. And that'll be an adjustment that they have to make. My overreaction to your overreaction is that Farhan is just going to make a lot of deals and he's going to bring in veteran bullpen arms. And I also think the Yaz and Slater thing is going to be something that the fans give the benefit of the doubt to for the first month or two. But if that tandem
is just starting to fall apart already, man.
Oh, already. If that tandem does not show that, you know, one of my big negatives is for some reason, it's kind of a Yaz thing, but I always feel like the person striking out with runners on to end the inning is almost always Yaz. Like that's probably unfair to him.
Yeah.
It's probably unfair to him, but I just feel like that's the case. I do think that they're going to have to find another outfielder. And, you know, you and I joke about Trout. Now Trout's going to be really hard to get. He makes a lot of money. So they'd have to take on a lot of money. They may not be into that. So it may not be Trout, but I do think they're going to have to get an everyday right fielder to pair up with Conforto being the everyday left fielder. Now, Conforto has not been this like, he has not been the healthiest guy. So you may still need a Slater or a Yaz to kind of be that utility outfielder. I'm not sure you have both guys on your team that you're necessarily going to be a winning ball club. I feel like they have one too many utility outfielders and they really need to solidify right field. And maybe to your point earlier, maybe that does become Matos. But from what we saw last year, he had a chance. He didn't look completely ready. You would like to see him have more chances, but I would also like to get to the playoffs. And I think if they have, if they can find a bopper to play right field and to be somewhat okay defensively, though, if you keep a Slater or a Yaz in the eighth inning, there's your right field, right? So that I think that is going to happen. I think Farhan is going to be way more active than ever and maybe less conservative on pulling the trigger just because of the need and because of the idea that, you know, he's kind of, you know, president of baseball opting for his job into the future. I don't think they're going to have as much patience with him if the Giants do not have a good season this year.
Yeah, for sure. And Zadie, I mean, this is for the old heads. You know, we've had our villains. We've had Bob Lurie. Now we have Farhan. So, you know, the villains are always there. They just kind of, it's like Gotham, you know, they're just kind of waiting to grow and become the villains that they are. But yeah, I mean, Montas, I'd love to see him up soon. But again, the strikeouts are still there.
Yeah.
And they still were there in the spring. I know the home runs are there, but, you know, I think the Giants are looking for guys to get on base right now. And I know a lot of people are saying, what about Eliot Ramos? But, you know, again, there's the strikeouts. When he comes up, he shows us the strikeouts.
Eliot Ramos is 75 years old. How's that guy still have options?
kind of feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. No, but didn't they like sign him when he was like 17 or something? That's why he's
they did. Yeah, I was 16, forever. I think. So that's why it feels like he's been in the organization forever. Yeah.
I still like him. I still pull for him. I still have like little glimmer of hope that, you know, he's going to come and join the team in the summer when they need it, just go on like a 2-week binge of like just jack after jack after jack.
That's what we want to see, man. We want to see that from Elliot.
Yeah. All right. My last overreaction is going to be on the positive side. And I know you earlier in this show said that Jung Hoo Lee struggled a little bit against the Dodgers. He did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is taking a lot of pitches, and I believe it is because he's never seen these pitchers before. And he's trying to gauge the strike zone. He's trying to figure out how pitchers are attacking him. I'm sure he's doing a lot of work with the hitting coaches. And when he does swing, I think I read a number. It's like he's made contact 37 times out of 42 swings or something like that.
Yeah.
So the key for him is just keep swinging at more strikes and good things are going to happen. Earlier, I think it may have been on this show, the previous time before the season started, I said, you know, I want to see Jung Hoo Lee as like a poor person's Ichiro. Now, I'm going to go back and give you some Ichiro numbers. So Ichiro, he joins the majors at the age of, I think he would have been 27, something like that, 28 maybe, when he joins the Mariners in 2001. Right out of the gate, Ichiro Suzuki, 242 hits, 56 stolen bases, led the majors in both of those categories, along with batting average. And wins the MVP and the Rookie of the Year in the same season.
It's insane.
Okay. I think it will probably be impossible for Jung Hoo Lee to win the MVP this year. Unless he has that type of season, maybe he's in the running.
MVP nowadays is, it feels like it's a home run award. So that's going to be the drawback. Yeah.
Yes. So my overreaction is that Jung Hoo Lee, his season from a hits and at bats and plate appearances perspective is going to be pretty darn close, more than a poor person's Ichiro. I don't know if he can hit 350 because 350 is high, but
right.
This guy, the way I see him swing the bat and the type of way that his bat barrels the baseball, I see 200 hits and maybe even more than 200 hits.
Wow.
I think this guy is going to be, by the end of this season, when we talk about, you know, the offense, you know, we talk about Tyro. Is Tyro gonna make that leap? Matt Chapman, Soler, like if Soler hits 40 bombs, if Conforto hits 30 bombs, I think when it's all said and done at the end of this year, the MVP of the offense is gonna be the table setter. I see so many amazing things in that swing, and he's just going to get more comfortable with the pitching and the overabundance of, I guess, what would you say, the power pitching. Right. And I think it's going to feed right into the strengths of his game. So my overreaction is Jung-Hoo Lee is the single best offensive player on the Giants by the end of this season, 2024. And going into next year, the idea is going to be like, okay, who do we put around Jung-Hoo Lee? And I just see so many big things for this guy.
I like that overreaction, and I don't want it to be an overreaction. I want it to be true because, oh man, I can't even, I think my kids and my wife are sick and tired of me talking about Jung-Hoo Lee. Every time he comes up, I'm like, it's Jung-Hoo Lee. And then he hits the home run. I got a Jung-Hoo Lee home run. I'm just so enamored with this guy. His swing, I love leadoff hitters. I love true leadoff hitters. I love old school leadoff hitters. And I think we finally have that. I love slap hitters. I love guys that grind, get on base, take pitches, wait for their pitch. And Jung-Hoo Lee is all of that. So I know that's an overreaction, but please let it happen. Let it be true.
If that is even close to being true, the Giants are going to score runs, and they're going to score in a pretty decent way. You know, we're going to get out of here in a second, but my wife, she spent a couple of years in Korea teaching English to high school kids.
Oh, wow.
And she still understands Korean, and she knows how to speak, you know, Korean a decent amount. I think he's going to be the medium in which I get her into baseball.
Hey, there you go.
Because if I continue to say, hey, you know, there's this new Korean player the Giants have, come watch this at bat. And if she can get excited about him, I might be able to get her into it more. Because, you know, she's just, you know, she likes watching football. She'll sit through some Warriors stuff with me, but it's not her main interest. But I don't know, Jung-Hoo Lee might be the way. He may be the way.
She just had a birthday, so did you get her a ladies Jung-Hoo Lee jersey?
So that's the next thing that I was thinking about. Because you and I talk a lot about this. Who is the person that, you know, who's the jersey that you're gonna buy for that new young fan? I would love to buy her a Jung-Hoo Lee jersey. She does have a Lincecum jersey, but the reason she has a Lincecum jersey is because I bought it for JJ, and it was too small. Right. It was too small for him, so I just gave it to her, and I was like, "Oh, you can wear this. Like, just wear a sweatshirt underneath it." So she's got this like really nice Lincecum like World Series patch jersey that she only worn like one time. So I need to get more reasons for her to wear it.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, all right, great. Man.
Yeah, that's the guy, man. That's the guy that's gonna bring in a whole new crop of Giants fans, I think. So yeah.
So that is gonna be it for us here on Bleacher Report. We're gonna be back at the end of the month, and there's no theme for that show yet. It'll probably just be, you know, end of the month. How's the team doing? What's the main stories that we're gonna talk about? But so hopefully. You'll be looking forward to that because we love doing this. We really appreciate the platform. And if you want to follow us on our network, bspnmedia.com is the website. You can find everything that we do on that website, bspnmedia.com, Bay Area Sports Podcasting Network. So for Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.